sweat the technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Top Training Sugarland.
Yep, Top Training Sugarland. Killer Bees out here today. Grand opening coming up on Saturday. DJ's going to be out here. Food trucks, shoot some hoops, tours, dodgeball, raffle drawings, offer free trial class. Blanker's going to be out here Saturday, yep, too.
How about stop that? By and say hello.
Yep. An A-list celebrity.
Bring my daughter.
Love that. Texters. How about Mike Hampton? Hampton was previous century. Hampton left after 1999. He came. Did you know he came back for 1 year, Hampton, in 2009, when he was 36 years old?
Is that after Colorado and all the money and everything?
He went from Houston to the Mets.
Yep.
I think he was traded to the Mets. And then he signed as a free agent with Colorado, went to Atlanta, missed 2 years with injury, came back to Atlanta, and then spent 1 year with the Astros. 21 starts.
I don't remember the farewell tour of Mike Hampton.
I don't really either. I don't have a great recollection of that. Now, the Astros were 74 and 88 that year.
That ain't good.
So, I think Mike Hampton was the ace. No, he wasn't the ace. That team had Roy O, and they had Wandy was on that team. They were both in their 30s, though. That was like the Carlos Lee days. Yep, Carlos Lee. Jeff Blum was on that team.
The fact that Blummer came out just nonchalantly the other night and said, I had a five-hit game.
He did?
Yeah, I'm almost positive that's exactly what he said. I'm like, wait a minute. I know Blummer had some decent years, but did Jeff Blum have a five-hit game?
There's no way he'd lie about it.
No, he's great, and he's a great dude.
Yeah, he wouldn't lie about it. He must have had a five-hit game. I mean, he had chances. Didn't T-Mac buy the Shane Reynolds house? I don't know that.
That's absolutely true.
It's true?
Absolutely true. Yeah, T-Mac, because we used to shoot commercials and videos at T-Mac's house, and it's right off the 18th hole of Sweetwater.
Really?
Yep. It says he did not have a five-hit game.
What?
Yeah.
So Jeff said he had a five-hit game, and he hadn't had a
five-hit
game?
I thought he said
it
on the telecast the other night.
Maybe it was minor league ball.
And he said, maybe you're right, because he said he did not have a five-hit game. However, he is most known for his obvious game-winning home run in the 14th inning against the Astros for the White Sox.
That is shocking to me that he said that and he didn't do it.
I don't want to misquote him, and maybe he did have it sometime in his career, like non-major league. Maybe you're right. But I thought he said that.
That's crazy. Carlos Lee, better than you remember. Lots of 300 seasons and decent power, backup DH. Now, Carlos Lee was under consideration. But Carlos Lee and Hunter Pence's offensive numbers are pretty much the same. And then Hunter Pence was way better defender and could play center. Whereas Carlos Lee was a huge liability. I can't carry another DH. So Lee is on the short list, but he's going to be on my AAA team. Ken Giles was the closer in 18. I thought he started the year in 18, but that was the year they traded him for Osuna. He was traded halfway through 18 for Roberto Osuna.
Coming
after he punched his face.
And also after he chastised AJ coming off the bump. That one time where he F-bombed him, and after that it was like basically you wrote your ticket out.
That was what a waste he was.
He celebrated the World Series championship in a zero Fs given tank top.
Yeah.
That's class.
He was he was so good, too.
He was so talented.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say good.
No,
he was so talented.
Yeah.
Watched 30 for 30 last night, McGuire and Sosa chasing Maris in 61. What a show. Have you seen that? I saw it.
I have not seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. What a time that was, huh? And we all just kind of overlooked all that.
They say baseball. I mean, look, you can sit there and say they criticize them for what they, the enhancements and things that they used to do what they did. They literally resurrected and saved baseball.
No doubt. After Bud Selig tried to ruin it.
Yeah.
And then the strike ruined it. And then Selig turned a blind eye to the PEDs. And then they keep the PED users out of the Hall of Fame, but Bud Selig's in it.
That's right. He got in.
What a sham. Hidalgo, massive power and cannon for an arm in the outfield. Hidalgo was under consideration, but a lot of Hidalgo's stuff was pre-century, too. Like, he was only with the Astros for 3 years after the change of the century.
Yeah, that's the tough line in the sand, because if you're going post-2000, yeah, they're not in their heyday. There were a lot of guys that otherwise you could consider from when the Astros were successful.
Hidalgo close, but not quite. And his biggest year came in 2000. So he missed it by a year because the turn of the century, 2001. So if you counted 2000, it probably puts Hidalgo on the team. But you can't.
Hidalgo had a couple of big years.
He had one really big year
where
he hit the 44 homers, 122 RBIs. And then his final year in Houston before they traded him was another really good year, but not as good as the 44 homers. He had 28 homers, 88 RBIs, 143 OPS plus is pretty nuts.
Yep.
But his big year was 2000.
Okay.
His big year was 2000. Now, again, close, but not quite. No Lance Berkman. Did I not say Berkman? Berkman's my left fielder.
You said it multiple times, maybe including I said DeMilo.
Maybe I said it fast. Altuve, best Astro of all time. I have no objection there.
He's the greatest Astro. He'll go down as the greatest Astro in the history of the franchise.
Somebody said Ken Caminiti. Ken Caminiti, most of his he didn't spend much time with the Astros post-turn of the century.
And his best seasons were with Padres.
Best seasons were with the Padres. In fact, actually, he never played with the Astros in this century. His last year with Houston was in 2000, so Ken Caminiti wouldn't even be in the player pool here.
Didn't DK have a couple good years pitching?
Yeah, that was the late 90s, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, before he went away to
because he was the course. His curveball was
no, he was nasty
filthy.
Through the no-hitter.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Kyle – yeah, his last year in Houston was 97.
Okay.
So he wouldn't be in the player pool either. How many years was Pudge in Houston at catcher? Just one.
Yep.
Yeah, Pudge wouldn't be in the consideration here. Wagner is not a closer behind Rivera and Hoffman. Wagner is a closer on this team. I don't really know what that means. Shane Reynolds, Mike Hampton. No, can't do Shane Reynolds, Mike Hampton. I already told you why. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I wanted to relive a couple of trades. And the reason that I want to do this is because did you see what's going on with Stephon Diggs?
Well, I saw the boat party.
Did you see the boat party? Did you see the substance?
No, they were trying to figure out what it was.
Got a question on the text line. Do PED guys get in the hall when they die like Pete Rose?
I mean, it's a travesty that Pete Rose was not – he wanted that so badly, too. But, I'm not going to say I would die. He would have died on that hill. Pete Rose, as a baseball player, should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. As a baseball player, not as a manager.
Should players, managers that are in the organization that are betting in the sport, should they be in the Hall of Fame?
What do you mean?
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame because he gambled on the sport, despite how great he was as a player?
I think as a baseball player, there's no proof that he bet on baseball while he was playing. So as a
manager, there is.
Yes. So as a player, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
As a manager, he should not.
All right.
I see that the gears grinding.
I'm just throwing out scenarios for hypotheticals here. If player X broke the home run record, single season home run record, clean as a whistle as a player, 1 year after his retirement, he murdered somebody. Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
As a baseball player, yeah.
Okay.
Mark. I mean, O.J. Simpson, from his football career standpoint, should be in the Hall of Fame. Simpson as a person should not be in the Hall of Fame.
I wonder if O.J. Simpson would be in the Hall of Fame, though, if that happened before he was eligible to be voted in the Hall of Fame. I would bet that he wouldn't be.
Well, because of the fact that when we talk about all this and how you get in and how you don't, because of the fact that you're literally at the mercy of these opinionated sports writers and people that have a vote, so you're probably right because they're probably going to hold a grudge. They're going to probably have their own personal bias because of what he did off the field, and they're probably going to keep him out. Just statistically and what he did as a football player, he's a Hall of Fame football player.
No, I have no doubt about that. I have no argument about that. But should a murderer be in the Hall of Fame?
I was going to say, isn't there at least one Hall of Fame where there is one?
OJ, but he did it post being announced into the Hall of Fame.
Is he the only one?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I would bet that he is. I can't think of another murderer. Like, Aaron Hernandez isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
O.J. Simpson technically was not proven to be a murderer. I can't think of anyone else.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
But, like, I mean, if there was a baseball player right now that came in and just set the world on fire and broke every record, and then he murdered somebody 1 year post-retirement, there's no way anybody's voting.
No, again, unless the criteria changed and the balloting changed and everything, and even still probably the league probably would be against it. But would they be worthy and deserving of it from a player perspective? Absolutely.
Somebody said Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, again, was not proven guilty.
Was he completely exonerated?
I think he had to do some
he's like an accomplice?
It depends on the story you listen to. Like, that's a weird deal. I highly recommend the Ray Lewis podcast. I can't remember what it's called. It's really good.
He does the podcast?
No. It's like a journalist that does it. Ray Lewis refused to be interviewed on the podcast. Mm. He refuses to talk about that day.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Brian texted rumors of Ty Cobb killing a drifter in 1912. Okay. What does that mean? Rumors of killing a drifter in 1912.
In the Hall of Fame.
He was super racist, Ty Cobb, though.
Yes, he was.
He was super racist, Ty Cobb.
Andy used to sharpen his spikes to try and spike people.
Rose's managerial record was 412 and .373. He wouldn't have gotten anyway. Well, he would have been in as a player.
Yeah.
Like that, no one's saying that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame because he's a great manager.
He earned and deserved as a player to be in the Hall of Fame.
I have no argument there. I have no argument there. And I also agree with you that I hate the whole like moral police and like I'm the moral compass as a baseball writer and a baseball Hall of Fame voter. I get to decide.
I hate it.
Like you have a lot of PED. You probably have a lot of players in the Hall of Fame who use PEDs.
No doubt.
But they're the judge, jury, and executioner on which PED guys get in.
Right.
Like Barry Bonds can't get in. Well, why? Well, I think he used PEDs. Well, what about this player that probably did too? Well, I don't know about him. Like I hate that part of it. Like, how is Barry Bonds not in the Hall of Fame? He's the greatest hitter ever in the sport and never broke a Major League Baseball rule. Now, he broke American law, allegedly, but he never broke a Major League Baseball rule.
No, and from my argument always on as it relates to, in particular, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they would have been in the Hall of Fame prior to allegedly using any kind of PEDs. Barry Bonds was a five-tool stud outfielder. You go back to his Pirates days, multiple MVPs. You do everything that he did as a baseball player and as a hit for average, hit for power, do all those things. Just like Roger Clemens, stacking and racking Cy Youngs and mowing people down. Both those guys are Hall of Famers regardless of when they were accused and or never proven of using PEDs. So if you want to say that they used PEDs, okay, I'll listen to it. But does that keep them out of, and preclude them from being in the Hall of Fame for what they did prior to whenever they started? I think that they both should be in.
I'm actually on your side. I was just asking some questions to kind of like see where your train of thought is at. I think all those guys should be in. Like if you're – I think if the scenario that I drew up, best player ever, breaks the hit record, home run record, maybe he's a two-way player, pitch all those, and he murdered somebody after the first year of his – I think he should be in. Like you're telling the story of the game. How can you tell the story of the game with Barry Bonds not being in the Hall? How can you tell without Pete Rose? Like if you want to like put like a little like sub-note, like, okay, this stuff might have happened in his day. Pete Rose was found to be gambling on the game as a man. Like, okay, throw that in there. But – the all-time hit king should be in the Hall of Fame.
No question.
The all-time home run king career single season should be in the Hall of Fame. No, I think it's – that's why I've actually gotten numb to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame or the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame is because I think it's corrupt. I think it's stupid.
Here's the other thing, Jeremy, that's going to throw a wrinkle into it going forward is because now when we talk about all the big three of professional sports, they used to be completely anti, don't even bring up gambling. But now with everyday fantasy football and sports gambling and the fact that they know it's a revenue stream that they're going to rely on going forward, now – and we've seen it with players that are doing it as long as they're not – now. You know, they're in there. They can't use the NFL. You're not supposed to do it in your facility, but you can do it on anything other than football. But you're encouraging it, but then you're discouraging it, and that's going to it's going to muck up the waters even more.
And why did Bonds start juicing?
That I don't know.
Because Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were, and they stole the spotlight when Barry Bonds knew he was a better player.
And his ego would definitely say that he
would didn't.
Do that.
He didn't like that Sosa and McGwire were getting all the attention whenever he felt he was the best player in the game. So he leveled the playing field and did it better. That's what Lance Armstrong will tell you too. Well, Lance Armstrong's a liar and all these things, but the reason that Lance Armstrong would tell you now why he did PEDs and stuff was because exactly.
Yep.
So. That's why it's a slippery slope. Barry Bonds was juiced up the whole time. He was hitting his home runs at the end. No way you're supposed to hit more home runs when you're 40 than you were when you're 30. I completely agree with that take. But the entire sport was juiced up.
And the point is that what he did statistically and with the awards and things that he achieved prior to that season and those seasons at the end of his career warranted he was a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Yeah. And there could be an argument, too, that Bonds and, like, the Clemens, if they used, that they did it to, like, extend their career or, like,
sure.
recover faster. I could believe that as well. The problem is in an era that was – hard to tell who's using, and there's a high percentage of users. Like, what do we think? Like, what was the of the Major League Baseball player pool at the time, PED era, what percentage of players were using?
I got to believe, when you start looking at the Brady Anderson single, Luis Gonzalez's single seasons, the things that they were doing as just kind of random, fringy-type players at that point, you got to believe that the number is upwards of 70, 75%.
Okay, I would go like 50, but like who knows? It could have been 70. We have no idea.
If you want to still play Major League Baseball, and it's the difference between being a fringy guy or being a second baseman that for 1 year hits, you know, 50 bombs and gets paid on top, or the Marwin Gonzalez who got his biggest paycheck ever as a Major League Baseball player because for 1 year – whatever he did got him statistically. Guys are going to do whatever they can to hang on to the game, but if they can excel in the game, everybody's – we talk about if you're not trying, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying to win. These guys for their own careers are trying to win.
Yeah. How? Well, I mean, two things. Like, one, like we talk about the Finleys and the Gonzalez and the Brady Andersons and to a bigger degree the Bonds and the McGuires and the Sosas. How many utility players were doing it to save their job?
That's what I mean.
Probably quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a guy that suddenly hits 50 bombs in a career and has a career year. I'm talking about guys that otherwise would be chasing dreams in the minor leagues or trying to figure out what they're going to do next in their life that took something because it prolonged their career and put more food on the table for their family.
If you would have told me, hey, you're starting your career, you'll play in the league for 5 years, you'll make $3 million. Or you can do this, play 15 years in the league and make $30 million.
You're going to be more than that.
Sorry, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
And again, you hear the rumors from all the way back to prior to 2000 where they said that the laundry detergent-sized boxes were in the locker room of everything that they could scoop into a shake, and they could do whatever the hell they wanted to do. And that you're telling me that if – just same way when we hear about now the cheating and how it went rampant – everybody is hearing what everybody else is doing, and when if it's doing it and they're having success with it, it's like the torpedo bats. If one guy uses a torpedo bat and it's working, I want one of those. I got to try that. Let me see if it works for me too. And it's the same thing. They're all looking for that next big thing that could either save their career, prolong their career, or make their career better.
You know, the big wild card of this too is they weren't testing.
Right.
And they knew what was going on. Like, that's what's – like, how – again, how is Seelig in the Hall of Fame and Bonds?
I'll tell you this. The conversation that I had for all the years working for the Rockets and the stuff that I didn't realize, when I asked guys one day, I was like, you know, I walked in and talking to our training staff. So I go, well, they test for, like, steroids and everything in the NBA. They have to, right? And they're like, nope.
They still don't?
I think they do now.
They do now, but they didn't.
But there was an extended period of time when they didn't. And I'm like – you're seeing these dudes, like, holding on to muscle, playing all the minutes that they're playing, holding on to being just jacked and strong but yet athletic to go up and down the court. And we're not testing?
Yeah, I wonder if basketball would be a sport you don't want to use, though. Because, like,
it worked.
Okay. All right, maybe it is. You still have to be able to hit the ball. They still got to hit the ball and pitch the ball, steroids or not. Like, that's a fair point. Yes, you still need to make contact, but it enhances your performance once you do touch the ball.
I've had that argument with so many people over the years saying, yeah, you still have to have the hand-eye, but you don't think your bat speed is increased when your bench press and your weightlifting increases and your ability to swing a bigger, stronger bat is quicker? Come on, man.
I doubt that it helps your contact rate.
Right.
But it helps your barrel rate. Well, maybe not your barrel rate, but it helps your, like, exit velo. It helps your speed. It helps your power once you do hit the ball. It absolutely helps. Yes, you still have to swing and touch the baseball, and there's still a very difficult thing to do. But it obviously enhances, helps your recovery.
From a pitching perspective, you bounce back quicker and have better performances coming off of your last performance when you use stuff like that.
Remember McGuire did that little – locker room interview, like the players do after the games in front of their locker room media. There was Andro.
Yep. it was sitting locker there in camera's view right over his shoulder on the top shelf of his locker, and that's when everybody started asking questions.
It's crazy.
I also remember seeing Sammy Sosa early in his career as a 180-pound center fielder that had hardly any muscle on him, and then seeing him in the Galleria looking like he was trying to wear clothes that were supposedly when he was 14, and just being completely, like, not having any shirts or pants that could fit. He had, like, his wallet. You could just see the outline of his wallet, like, protruding from his pants because he was wearing them like tights because he was so jacked up.
And now he's white.
That too.
How did that happen? Oh, 7-1. I'm sure there's, it's like a real thing. I'm ignorant to it. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Dave, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Great to listen to your shows. Let me tell you something. It's a very interesting topic because, I'm not the type of guy who talks about race, but I'm telling you race played a role in this here because I remember when Canseco was telling everyone that everyone was juiced, and they kept overlooking it. They wanted to keep overlooking it. And then I would watch Oakland A's. It's like when they both played with Athletics, him and McGuire. You would literally see Canseco hit a homer, and they go, oh, he's juiced, he's jacked. And McGuire would come right behind him and hit one. They would go, oh, that's a big boy. He's just a big country boy. It was little stuff like that. Then, so everything was all fine with it until Bond started doing it. Because, just like Jeremy said, McGuire and Sosa had a great summer. We get it. It was wonderful, the whole nine. But they was literally, you remember the picture we had for the Astros? I think they was Lima.
Jose Lima.
He pitched the ball to Sosa. They got hit for a home run. The next day on news, oh, he served up his home guy or the Dominican, his national guy. Well, pretty much every pitcher who's white for the United States, I guess you could say the same about they served up McGuire. It started being racial, and I was like, and I'm not that guy, so don't think I'm that guy. I'm not that guy, but it was, some of it was just kind of there. And it wasn't until Bonds started hitting them out. He should have hit 100 if it wasn't for the 8 million walks. He would have hit 100.
Yeah.
But that's my take on the whole thing.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
So you're not that guy.
Like, I mean, I would disagree. Like, I respect Dave's opinion. And I mean, he could be right. I have no idea. I can't prove it one way or the other. I think it was more about the public outcry that had gotten out of hand, and then they used Bonds and Palmeiro and even Sosa and McGuire.
Palmeiro's the one that just,
as the
to
figurehead.
This day,
yeah,
I still can't even believe it. Where he went to and testified in front of Congress,
Mitchell Report.
Yeah, and slammed his fist down adamantly.
Yeah,
you know, he was doing Viagra commercials, but other than that he hadn't done anything to enhance anything. And then all of a sudden, he's all over the Mitchell Report, and you're like, he doesn't even look like he had changed his body type or anything.
Yeah, his numbers were stupid too, though.
Yeah, I mean, but he was also a hell of a hitter his whole career.
Not with the power, though.
No.
Like, Rafael Palmeiro hit more homers in his 30s than he did his 20s. Like, that's fishy. Like, yeah. The ones that were always in, like, so, I mean, I disagree with Dave's point, but again, can't prove it one way or the other. I just think it got so far out of hand that they needed to crack down, and they used those. I think that's similar to the Astros. Like, the sign stealing had gotten out of hand electronically, so
yeah,
they,
and they were worried it was going to run rampant, and then everybody was just going to look like WWE wrestlers in baseball uniforms,
yeah,
and it was going to be just a home run derby every night.
Right, yeah, and plus people became aware to it. They're like, okay, this isn't good, this isn't natural, all that stuff. Canseco, like, he's a truth teller, though. I watch him sometimes on TikTok.
He tries to tell too much truth. Yeah. He's
well, that's a way to say relevant, but I mean,
diarrhea of the mouth can do that, too. I mean, he likes to throw everybody under the bus.
He does. Palmeiro hit 155 home runs in his 20s, and then in his 30s, he hit 414.
Wow.
It's almost a four-time multiplier in his 30s versus his 20s. Like that,
he
it's
just
insane.
Never looked like it to me, and he was always such a good hitter, perennial all-star
hitter.
He was
a good hitter, just didn't have the
power. Yeah, he didn't have that power. But at the same time, I would say that from a longevity standpoint, and obviously that probably helped, but he was going to be a Hall of Famer for all of his numbers. I thought obviously the home runs helped later, but just as a 300 type hitter that was consistently, you know, one of the better hitters in baseball, I thought he'd end up being in the Hall of Fame.
Finley was always one that didn't, like, he's so small.
Yeah.
Luis Gonzalez, so small. But, I mean, you look at their career numbers and it's like,
okay. Gonzo here compared to when.
Maybe he's still small, though.
Yeah.
He's still small.
But, like, the Brady Anderson thing, like, his forearms went like Steve Garvey times 10.
Branham should get on the juice for a year and see how much his body changes. I mean, if you want to supply it, I mean, we can run a little experiment.
They got a little, I have it in my car wreck for you.
You have steroids in your car?
No, I have a car wreck for you that relates to that.
I heard what you said. MLB did one guy's getting stronger to hit homers, but let's have loaded balls in MLB for more offense. I mean, that happened. Goldilocks balls. If Altuve keeps it up, I'm pretty sure he'll hit more home runs in his 30s than he did in his 20s. Are we saying he's juicing all? I'm going to look at that. I wonder the disparity there.
See, that's the thing, too, when you bring up the Goldilocks balls and everything else. Baseball's so hypocritical that those two guys saved the sport. They want to crush them. Bonds obviously prolonged the summers of baseball where people could – it was can't miss, must-see TV every time he got an at-bat. ESPN would break in for their at-bats. But then all of a sudden he wants to be punished. But yet baseball, there's nothing fishy with the fact that they bought the company that makes the baseballs, and suddenly pre-All-Star break in his last year, Albert Pujols had two home runs, and then all of a sudden he goes crazy. And then Aaron Judge is chasing records, and suddenly he goes crazy and has this flourish for a finish. But there's nothing to see here. And that didn't help prolong the popularity of the game of baseball? Come on.
Yeah. Altuve isn't getting to the Hall of Fame because he's a cheater, question mark. There's going to be some baseball writers that are pretentious that will not vote Altuve in.
It'll come down to that he won't be a first ballot guy.
Yep.
But at the same time, there's plenty of people that want to, just for that simple fact, they want to put their foot down and try and prevent him from getting it.
Altuve, 128 homers in his 20s, 109 in his 30s. I mean, that's pretty even. Like, he's still more in his 20s. He probably will have more in his 30s eventually. But that's, I mean, that's a one-for-one
ratio.
It's
not egregious like Palmeiro, it won't be. It's not something that you can, you know, put on the table as a bargaining tool.
How many years did Palmeiro play in his 20s versus his 30s? He made his big league debut at 21. So he played all of his, I mean, except for the age of 20. He played his ages 21 through 29 years, and then he played all of his years of 30s. He retired after his year 40 year. When did Palmeiro make the majors? Not a fair comparison. He made his big league debut in the 21. He had one more year in his 30s than he did in his 20s.
Well, that documentary on Mississippi State baseball,
that's a good documentary.
Too, was really good with him and Will Clark and Bobby Thigpen and Jeff Brantley. That team was loaded.
Could you imagine having Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro in your same college lineup?
Using a metal bat, too.
I mean, yeah, that was back in the day of the aluminums.
Yes, yes.
Keegan Cavalier was hitting 40-something home
runs.
Yeah,
for Oklahoma State. Yep.
That's Rafael Palmeiro's son went to USF.
Oh, really?
Wasn't as good as the old man. Wasn't as good as Rafi. Most hits in the 90s, Mark Grace. Would love to have seen him juice up. He knew how to break a slump.
I was just going to say, the slump buster, though, was something that was effective.
Yeah, he was. He would say so. Guys don't make the majors until the mid-20s. Not Palmeiro. Palmeiro made it when he was 21. How about Hank Aaron? I mean, what about Hank Aaron?
I got to believe Will Clark made it right after his time at Mississippi State, too. He wasn't a guy that was long for the minors.
No, he was so pure of a hitter.
Oh, his swing is beautiful.
I used to love watching him hit. Let's see. He made his big league debut at age 22.
There you go.
So, yeah, right around there. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's relive two trades, the Stephon Diggs trade and the Kyle Tucker trade. It is the Bees broadcasting live from Top Training in Sugarland on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Top Training Sugar Land. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're at a Top Training in Sugar Land. Great spot, 6,500 square feet. Grand opening officially on Saturday. The DJ's going to be out here, food trucks. They'll be touring the place, dodgeball, raffle drawings. Blanker's going to be out here a little bit, bringing both daughters, or just the one?
Well, I mean, we'll bring the five-year-old because she is
times two.
She's throwing and swinging, and she'll go wherever we're going anyway and be in on it. But she'll do whatever, you know, try some things out. But at five, probably not. But at nine, Taylor probably could use some things.
I mean, she'll enjoy the food trucks.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, and the DJ, she'll be dancing.
You want some Astro news?
Sure.
Pedro Leon is back in Sugarland.
So he's back from Florida extended spring training rehab.
Yeah, he's back from the Florida Coast League, FCL?
Something like that.
Is that what it stands for? But he's back in Sugarland. He's a spacer. I'm sure he plays tonight. Espada, by facing pitchers tomorrow, Yordan Alvarez won't need a rehab assignment. So pitching machine on the field today, he will face pitchers tomorrow. And then if all goes well, maybe he is back by the end of the series.
Maybe. Because that sounds like that they would then, but before they leave town on Sunday, that he would get a game in, and you would think he'd want to do it at home. But then my question is that Bracamonte throwing it, batting practice, or is that pit? Because who do they have that would be a pitcher that they could get some work in?
Maybe some of the bullpen guys who need some work, but
Forrest Whitley?
I mean, I don't want
I don't want Forrest Whitley going wild and hitting him.
I know Whitley's not. He didn't have enough control. I don't want him facing Yordan. That sounds like a broken hand waiting to happen. I don't know which pitchers he'd be facing.
My curiosity would be is who's the live pitching that he'd be facing?
Maybe they'll bring in somebody on the taxi squad. Christian Walker's day to day and could be available off the bench. So it looks like he's not going to get an IL stint. That's good news.
Yeah, it is.
And then Luis Garcia.
Oh boy.
Will throw a bullpen on Sunday.
What, is that going to be like 20 pitches this time?
Couldn't tell you. I hope he's. Hope
his first one was 15.
I just hope he's got the cardio in. I hope he's been.
He
jogging
needs to get over here
a little bit. He does.
He's going to get him a little top training.
Top training would whip him into shape in no time. He needs to get away from the bars in Washington
Avenue.
There you
go.
And get to top training.
If he wants to be the face of the league, he better clean up his act on the other front.
He's got to get married too. Is he married, Luis Garcia? I don't know. Will Kunkel, Astros DH, Yordan Alvarez says he hopes to return "quote unquote" soon. Plans to hit live pitching tomorrow. If he does that, then he feels he's on track. Alvarez says this process has taken longer than he'd like because they want to make sure it's not an issue all season.
That's kind of what I said, but at the same time, because of how PTSD we are on everything Astros medical related, it doesn't matter what he says now. We kind of already know, and it's built in, that if he's on the IL for 10 days, we'll see you in a month.
If he does this, though, like if like, okay, I'm going to miss a month, but then he comes back the rest of the year, that's a major win.
It is, but here's the thing. It also might give you more into why he had such a slow start. Maybe there is legitimacy to the fact that he wasn't the normal Yordan, and we were all looking at him going, what the hell happened to him? Maybe because this was already there and it was bothering him from the time the season started.
Like, it's a huge hypothetical. But sure. if he misses a month-ish and then is ready to go the rest of the year, I would have taken that at the start of this injury.
Well, because we've done it almost every year.
We have.
I mean, it is what Yordan does.
We have done that. One more from Kunkel per Joe Espada. Yordan Alvarez will not need a rehab assignment. Once he says he's ready, he's very close. Quote, this is the best I've seen him. This is the best he's felt.
So maybe that is true, that maybe there is therein lies why he was struggling so much this year as opposed to since he's gotten called up.
I mean, Espada's talking about, like, in the last month, right? Like, certainly this isn't the best you've ever seen Yordan Alvarez. He's got to be talking
this stretch.
It's got to
be this year because there can't be. When you talk about, you know, when he was completely locked in, playoffs, Phillies, you know, Mariners, and just stretches of his other regular seasons, there's no way he's anywhere you're looking at that and saying he looks better than he looked back then.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. So Stephon Diggs has gotten himself into, I wouldn't say trouble because he's not really in trouble. He's gotten himself into a situation.
His lady friend.
Oh, Cardi B's not happy?
Cardi B's not happy that all that was going on while she was on the boat.
If they get married, would she change her name to Cardi Diggs?
Or Cardi D. Just saying.
All right, we're stupid. Anyways, he was like handing out a substance to like friends. I guess.
Paul guessing what it was.
What did he guess?
He had a lot of different answers, and none of them were good. They were more like.
What did he say? What did he say that they were? What it was?
He said Molly for one of them.
Molly a pill?
And then there's some. What is it that he said?
You pretend like you don't know.
Some highfalutin like topping or salt.
I thought Molly was a pill.
He said
something. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he had some, like, top shelf high, like, food or something like that you put a certain kind of salt or something on, and he was like, it was that. He was just guessing on a bunch of stuff. But Molly was definitely one of them.
I'm pretty sure Molly's a pill. I don't know, though.
I think you're right.
What about, like, the little stuff they put in Pixie Sticks? Like, there's no chance it was that on the boat? They're handing out the sugar inside of Pixie Sticks?
Yeah, no.
So they just put it in a Ziploc bag? It can't be Pixie Stick stuff?
So I saw on Twitter earlier today that
– Who is this?
Yeah, who is this? So I noticed earlier. I was like, B-Mac changed his voice.
So
is this Ryan?
Yeah, it's Ryan. So
no, thanks for
– I was on Twitter earlier today, as one does, right? And I saw on a thread about this topic that it might be something like called like Tuma or Tuvo or something like that that's popular in Miami, a mixture of like cocaine and Molly.
Yeah, we were – yeah, there you go. I mean, he didn't use it. He was just passing it out.
Boy, these youngsters are getting really overconfident with their.
You don't think it was like turmeric? You don't think he's worried about like anti-inflammatory?
Yeah, no,
is that not what it was?
Yeah, no.
That wasn't a little bit of like ginger substance?
Definitely not.
Like the nature's cure of inflammation?
They were calling him
crushed
daddy
up Pepto.
They were calling Stephon Diggs daddy.
Yeah, he said they had to call him daddy to get whatever was in the magic box.
Here was Mike Vrabel talking about Himalayan pink sea salt.
I think that's what Paul something to that degree that Paul brought up.
I buy. Have you ever? Do you buy fancy salt?
No.
There's like fancy salt out there that like apparently like hydrates you better, and it has like essential. I don't even know. Essential ingredients or like aminos.
Essential or essential?
Essential.
Oh, I thought you were looking for a little extra.
Okay. Like the way you spell stuff, I'll start throwing that out there too, Blankets. If you want to pick this fight, we certainly can. No, it's got like a bunch of essential ingredients that are good for you. Like,
okay.
And they're like not chemically enhanced like regular salt, whatever. But anyways, like, yeah, I wonder if they're doing that on the boat. They're passing out some good salts on the boat.
Partying on the boat, I don't think they're looking for the ultimate salt.
It's good hydration. Maybe it keeps the hangover away. But anyways, Mike Vrabel was asked about this. It's this hilarious little Q&A with one of the reporters and Patriot head coach Mike Vrabel about the situation on the boat.
Stephon Diggs has gotten a lot of traction in the last 24 hours or so. He's on a boat having a good time. Question comes in as to a certain substance that people are guessing what is and isn't. Is this something that the team has to look into?
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stefan will remain between him and I and the club.
There you go.
That was a little more than Belichick would have given you.
Yeah, Vrabel. I actually like Vrabel.
I do too.
I like Vrabel.
Did he ever get his Super Bowl rings back when they were stolen here?
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, his house was broken into. I think they lived in Bel Air, and his house got broken into, and I think 5 Super Bowl rings were stolen.
That sucks.
Yeah,
That would be a bad thing to lose. I'd be upset if I lost
those. No question.
So, reliving the Texans trade for Stephon Diggs. And we had the benefit of hindsight 2020, like all that stuff. But the Texans traded a second-rounder for Stephon Diggs. And he played 1 year, played for a few games. So he got hurt. Hindsight 2020, obviously bad trade, right?
Bad trade. I didn't like it at the time simply because I thought – and again, I was banking on the fact that just being as honest as I can be, I thought the Vikings were going to suck. And so I thought that pick was going to be right at the top of the second round. So that's why I really hated it at the time. But still, I mean, yeah, you're right. For the fact that they basically were coddling him, trying to figure out how he fit in for the majority of the time that he was on the field early on, I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
No, I think if you were to pull back our tape of when the Texans made the trade, it was that's a lot of pick for a rental. And actually, it wasn't a rental at the time. It was actually a 2-year deal, and then they renegotiated it down to the 1-year deal.
You and I were both already iffy on the fact that you gave up a pretty solid second, in our opinion. But then when they renegotiated it and restructured it, then I was completely like, what the hell are we doing?
It made more sense whenever he had 2 years left than one.
Yep.
And it wouldn't have mattered. Well, it would have mattered because, I mean, he'd still be a Houston Texan right now. Mm-hmm. And so the second round pick would have been more tolerable. But I like where the Texans receiver room is at, but I wouldn't have traded the second rounder for Stephon Diggs. It wasn't worth the return. How about the other big trade the Astros made? Reliving the Kyle Tucker trade. And look, jury's still not out on that. Not even halfway through the year. Tucker, final year of his deal. Isak, you have him for club control. Wisniewski, now injury. And then obviously Cam Smith.
Doesn't matter. This is the one I have been very firm on this stance as well, in the fact that they were willing to do with this trade what they weren't willing to do with all the other guys, which was you have to admit that you're not going to re-sign him and you're not going to give him $500+ million or whatever he's going to get on the open market. And if you're convinced that you're not going to re-sign him to get 3 players that look like they're all going to contribute at some point, but the fact that Cam looks like a long-term big-time solution and Paredes is the perfect fit for this team, I make that trade 10 times out of 10.
Me too. Yeah, I actually like that people are coming around on this idea, because I used to get criticized for having this idea about players. Like, everybody in Houston, I think, likes the Kyle Tucker trade right now. Everybody.
You and I talked about this going into the offseason, that they should explore both Fromber and Tucker if they're convinced that they're not going to resign either one or both. If they still believe that there's hope for signing re-signing Fromber, okay. But I firmly believe they did the right thing with Tucker.
The only thing I would say about the Fromber thing is you can't just make a trade happen, right?
Right.
You have to be attracted to what the offer is. I think they actually did shop Fromber. I don't think that they were overwhelmed with any trade offer that they got. Like, it's not as easy as, we're going to trade that player to the highest bidder. Because if you don't like any of the bids, you don't want to trade the player.
Well, it's kind of like the conversation we had with Lamont earlier today, too. Like, it takes two to tango. You could be willing to trade and do what you need to do from your end, but if you don't get a trade partner that's willing to do what you want them to side and amicably come up with a mutual agreement, then there's no deal to be done anyway. So maybe that is the case, because I firmly believe that both should have been, and we talked about this, you should pick up the phone for both guys all off season to try and figure out what the market says.
Yep. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. Let's get to the car wreck of the day. What are you nominated for car wreck of the day? Killer Bees from Top Training in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
I'll give you a f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Thank you to Top Training and Sugar Land for having us out today. Grand opening on Saturday. DJ will be popping in here. food trucks, giving out tours of the place, some dodgeball. That'll be fun. Blank, are you going to play some dodgeball?
Probably not.
That'd be fun. I'd play.
Yeah, because you'd be drilling kids in the head.
I'd have no problem with that. I like to win.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Winning's the priority,
and
right?
And then we would hear the stats on Monday.
I don't usually do that.
No, never, right?
No, I really don't. Raffle drawings to...
What'd you hit in high school?
I hit 400 in high school. I was 2 for 5.
You ever win a long drive?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. I won a long drive. I think you told them.
Yeah. I did do those things. Those have no comedic reasoning at all. It's just to pat myself on the back.
I didn't say
that. Talk about all my accolades.
It
has nothing to do with comedy at all. Anyways, grand opening on Saturday. Offer a free class here at Top Training. 6,500 square feet of beauty, really. Sorenex equipment, Titan racks, team, group, and private training. Sugarland's elite facility for athletes of all ages, young athletes, high school competitors. If you're aiming for college, this is a great spot to get right for that. Adults is also reclaiming their strength. World-class coaches, including 3 former pros and 5 who trained professional athletes, offer structured science-backed programs in a high-energy, results-driven environment. So if you want a better... your activity, your physical stature, your strength, this is the place to do it.
Plus, it's right off 59. I mean, the convenience factor is fantastic. You're not driving through neighborhoods and trying to fight your way through, like, you know, oodles of buildings. This is right here off of 59. It's convenient, and you're getting the best training out there. And, again, like I said, it's not just getting in cages for, like, baseball, softball stuff and or, you know, pitching. It's how you do the things that you do. They're doing them the right way and getting conditioned the right way.
That's a great point about the highway, Bill. Like, yep. It's very, very underrated aspect of places. Like, you get to it quick, on and off. You don't have to, like you mentioned, drive through a bunch of different things. All right, car wreck of the day. What are we getting to? Car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776.
The first one is apropos for a lot of our subject matter in the latter portion of the show. But in case you didn't know this or not, and I put the picture on, there's a thing now called the enhanced games where taking performance-enhancing drugs is encouraged. And in doing so, there's competitions. And
what?
If you break a world record in the enhanced games, you get $1 million. They show, like, an Olympic swimmer who decided he's going for it, named James Magnussen. He's taking whatever he's taking. When you look at his lats and his shoulders... It is so abnormally disproportioned, but this dude's going after $1 million, obviously.
I've heard that name before. I think this might have been one of the guys that, he's an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah,
was this the guy that would duel with Phelps?
I don't know, but look at the difference in, like, his lats and, and everything like that. He looks like he's playing O-line.
Kind of looks like I look like when I look in the mirror.
Well, with your eyes closed?
That guy's in excellent shape. You think he's enhanced?
The second one, yeah.
That dude's
under his arms, it's like he's got pecs growing out of his underarms.
It always fascinates me how many calories these swimmers have to eat. Like these Olympic swimmers.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 8,000 calories a day.
Be fun.
I don't know if
the work aspect would not be fun to burn it off, but it would be fun.
I don't know if I want to eat 8,000 calories a day. That sounds horrific.
It'd be fun, though.
I don't know. I think 3,000, 5,000. I think that's fun. 8,000? Quite a bit. I'm going to nominate Brian for saying Lamar called earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, it's obviously Lamont.
We'll keep going because we should also nominate the fact that Brian hasn't worked again today.
That's true, yeah. Brian's done very little this week.
All week.
He took off Tuesday, took off Wednesday, coming off a 3-day weekend. He has an intern doing – I guess he's not an intern anymore. He has Ryan doing his work for him.
Doesn't tell us, by the way. All it takes is a text.
Zero communication. What is Brian good for?
What's he doing right now? Sitting at home with the kids, watching the family watching TV?
He's not doing much.
No.
If anything. Much might be being nice. So nominate Brian for all of that. All of that is very good. And then also the Timberwolves for losing to the Thunder, getting eliminated by 30.
I got another one on the Timberwolves.
If Anthony Edwards was married, I think they lose by 20 last night, not 30.
Go check the other one from the Timberwolves. Nas Reed got into it with a fan on social media.
Did he really?
Because it was a better and the bet didn't go well. And Nas's comments probably shouldn't have been made, but he had a back and forth with a fan.
I don't know if I hate that from Nas. Like, you probably should be smarter not to do that. Like, but if you're going to come into his DMs, okay. Like, I hate the bettors that hop into athletes' DMs.
Oh, it's awful.
It's the lowest form of human being that exists.
The league will, like, behind the scenes slap him on the wrist a little bit. But, yeah, he did blast the guy pretty good.
I can't stand when people do that. Oh, I'm gonna send this guy hate because he lost me a bet. You probably bet $5. You're probably playing the minimum. Like, come on, dude. All right, what's winning?
I'm going to go with the fact that the T-Wolves laid an egg that bad last night.
Anthony Edwards for not being married. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, T-Wolves win the car wreck of the day. Does it for us. Thanks to H for doing the work. Brian sitting back lounging, enjoying vacation. Ryan doing the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Coming up next, Inside the Icebox with Joe George and only Joe George. It's coming up next. Thanks again to Top Trading in Sugarland. Goodbye.